We'll take your Bibles, turn me to Daniel chapter number 5. We're taking our reading out of Daniel chapter number 5, and we've been in Daniel for a couple of Sundays now. And you had a little break between Hunter and Nathan preaching and then Danny teaching. And I'm going to jump right back into Daniel chapter number 5 this morning. I do ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the message. I want to always preach what God's given me, and this message has been on my heart for about 2 weeks. And I've been just studying in this scripture and trying to continually to ask God what his message is that he would like for me to get across. I ask you to be much in prayer for me. Going to probably be a little different this morning. I'm probably not going to leave my notes very far because I don't want to get off track. Got a lot of ground I want to cover this morning. A lot of thoughts here that I don't want to get into my thoughts. I feel like as God gave me the message this week, and over the past couple of weeks that I took the time to write down as God was speaking to my heart. And I still want to be open to God's Spirit as I'm preaching this morning. I love to get just up here and just get excited and fire down and preach about heaven and about the good grace of God and the mercy of God and all that. And may not be the way that the message goes this morning. I'm going to have to stick pretty close to my notes and try to get through this in a timely manner. And I ask you to be much in prayer for me as I get into this, that I will keep my mind, my thoughts, my opinions out of this and just preach what God's word says. And I'm thankful that we have a church that loves the word of God, that our church, I told Nathan as he come to preach for us last Sunday, he kept saying, I don't know what I'm going to preach. I said, brother, get up there and preach the word of God. I said, this church loves the word of God. If y'all didn't love the word of God, you wouldn't keep me. If you were looking for somebody intelligent, someone that was well-spoken, someone that was just going to get up here and just get some kind of flamboyant words and just woo and all everybody, you would have kicked me out a long time ago. But I'm thankful that you love the Word of God, and that's what we need to stand on here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask Him to bless as we get into the message this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. We thank you for this time that you've given us to come together. And God, I pray, dear Father, as I get into the message this morning, God, that you will just clean my heart, clean my mind, get my opinions and throw them so far away from this, that because my opinion doesn't count, but what the Word of God says is all that counts. God, I pray that you'll help me in everything that I always preach and love. God, I pray that you'll help me in everything that I always know that these messages are given to us. And God, I'm the one standing here preaching them, but so many times I stand so much in need of the help that's in these messages. God, I thank you for dealing with my heart on some of these things that we're going to talk about this morning. I thank you for revealing to me some things in my life. God, I pray that you'll help me to truly respond. And God, I pray that you'll help me to adjust my life. I pray that you'll help me just to completely and totally surrender my life and let you adjust my life, that I may walk in the ways that you would have me to walk, that I would be the Christian that you would have me to be. And God, that this life will be exactly what you've called it to be for your honor and for your glory. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today in the sanctuary that's lost, God, I pray that something will be said or done that convicts their heart and they see their need for a Savior. God, someone on Facebook that may see this message today or may run across a portion of it at some other time, God, may your anointing be on it, and God, may they see their need for a Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Daniel chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading one verse this morning for the sake of time, and then I'll go back and try to explain where we're at. In Daniel chapter number 5, verse number 30. And the Bible says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. As we get to verse number 30 of Daniel chapter number 5, we see here that there is a name given to us, the name Belshazzar. Be very careful as you read in Daniel. There was a place that Daniel's name was renamed Belteshazzar, and it's two completely different people. So what we're looking right here is at Belshazzar. As we look at Belshazzar, we know, or we can go back and understand in Daniel chapter number 5, and if you can go and you can even take some recordings and some historical information that's outside of the Bible and back this up, but you can go and look historically in the Bible and you can find where Belshazzar come from. If you remember, a few weeks ago we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar and how that Nebuchadnezzar was a king and he done all of these great, wonderful things, and then he ends up being more or less a beast in the field toward the end of the chapter. Now as we get into chapter number 5 and verse number 30, and we are introduced to Belshazzar, and we see that Belshazzar was slain in verse number 30. And I want us to take just a minute. I want us to understand what happened in Belshazzar's life for Belshazzar to die. In order to do that, we got to go back into verse number 1 of chapter number 5. And here's where I'm going to save us some time by trying to give you a verbal reading of God's word instead of actually reading God's word this morning. So if you go all the way back to verse number 1, we'll find that Belshazzar is king. Now I want you to understand that he has inherited this kingdom about 10 years after Nebuchadnezzar. And he inherited it due to a time filled with murder, conspiracy, and political decline. I'll stop there. I told you I was going to leave my opinions out of it. He has inherited this kingdom about 10 years after Nebuchadnezzar due to a time filled with murder, conspiracy, and political decline. In verse number 1, we find Belshazzar, and he is having a huge party. Life is good for Belshazzar. He is out there, and the Bible tells us, you can go back and you begin to read it, and I'm not going to, but as we look, Belshazzar is having a wonderful time. Some of the reading that I done this week on it says that even at the time that this big party was going on, that Belshazzar knew that he had enemies encamped about his kingdom, that he knew that there were people there encamped around his kingdom that were enemies to come against him. But he felt that he was so fortified by the walls there around him. He felt that he was so fortified by those walls that he was indestructible. So he's out here and he's having this big party. Life is good, and Belshazzar feels indestructible here at this party. Now, during this time, if you go back and you read, like in verse number 4, you'll see that Belshazzar went and he got some golden vessels that had been taken from the tabernacle there in Jerusalem, that they had went and they taken these golden vessels out of Jerusalem when they were taken into captivity, and that Belshazzar began to use these golden vessels during this party, and he was using them to drink wine in and using them in an opportunity to praise the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, and wood, and stone. And as Belshazzar is having this party, he begins to use things that he shouldn't be using to praise things and lift up things that he shouldn't be lifting up. In verse number 5, you'll find that during this great big party that he was having, that he was doing a lot of things that he shouldn't have been doing, that out of nowhere a hand appeared. And this hand began to write on the wall. And as Belshazzar sees this hand writing on the wall, it shook his world so bad. If you go back and you read in verse number 6, you'll see that it even began to make his knees tremble as he saw this hand writing on the wall. In verse number 7, you'll find that Belshazzar sent for all of his magicians, his astrologers and soothsayers, and he sent for them. He wanted them to come and interpret the writing that was all on the wall. See, he saw the hand write on the wall. He saw the writing that was on the wall, but he could not read the writing on the wall. As Belshazzar sends for all of his people and they cannot read the writing on the wall, someone reminds him in verses 10 through verse number 24. They said, you need to be reminded that this also happened to Nebuchadnezzar. That Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and nobody could interpret this dream except for Daniel. And Belshazzar sends for Daniel to come and to see the writing there on the wall. And as Daniel comes and he says, Belshazzar looks at him and says, Daniel, nobody here is able to read this writing on the wall. Is there any way possible that you can read to me what is written here on the wall? So we come to verse number 25, and I want us to read verse number 25 through verse number 28. We find the writing that is on the wall. As his hand appeared in the middle of this big party, as everything was wonderful in Belshazzar's life until he sees this writing happen on the wall, and right in the middle of the party, everything paused, everything stopped, and Belshazzar's world was shaken. As Daniel comes in verse number 25, and he looks at the writing that is there on the wall, and Belshazzar is asking him to interpret it, this is what we find in verse number 25, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. That was probably exactly the way that it was pronounced, by the way. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Paris, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. As we look at this, as we see this writing that is on the wall in the middle of this party where Belshazzar is feeling indestructible, life is good for him, and then all of a sudden, here's this message on the wall, and I'm going to go back and read it again. The interpretation, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. While life is good, all of a sudden, everything is shaken for Belshazzar as this writing is interpreted to him, and all of a sudden, life is not so good. What I want us to look at very closely this morning in verse number 27, that word tekel is the way that I'm going to say it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, how in the world could Belshazzar be found wanting? He is the king here in this kingdom. He is now in a place that he has got things that he didn't work for. He has possessions that he didn't earn. He has a kingdom that he didn't deserve. He has wives, concubines. He has a whole kingdom full of people at his beck and call. But we find Belshazzar here as he is sitting here, and it seems like life is good, that he is indestructible, that there's no possible way that there could be anything that he could want or need. We find Belshazzar in a place that he has no regard for God, no acknowledgement of God, no respect for God, no fear of God, no relationship with God. Belshazzar has one problem as he is sitting here at this big party. He has a God problem. All of his other problems may be solved. He has a lot of problems, but money isn't one of them. He has a lot of problems, but power isn't one of them. He has a lot of problems, but actually, as we look at Belshazzar, maybe he doesn't have a lot of problems. Maybe as we look at Belshazzar, there is one problem that he has, and he has a God problem. As we look at Belshazzar this morning, I think there is some parallels that can be drawn into the situations that we are in today. There are some parallels that can be drawn into our own personal life. And as we get into the message this morning, I want you to keep an open mind and an open heart. And I want us to look in our lives and in our hearts and our world and see where our problems are. There are many problems that it looks like that are on the forefront. There are many problems that looks like smoke screens out here for us. But the whole time, there's one problem that we have. And I believe that each and every one of them point to a God problem. As we look at that verse number 27, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, or he is found lacking, or he is found missing. I want you to know that that balance was not a balance that Belshazzar had made. That wasn't a balance that Belshazzar had set up. That was a balance that had been set up by God. That was a scale that had been set up by God. And when God looked at him, he may have said, you've been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. As we look at Belshazzar this morning, how in the world, in the middle of so much, was he missing it all? But I'm so afraid that so many times in our lives that we are in the middle of so much. We have such a good life. We have such a wonderful time. But right in the middle of all of this goodness, we're missing it all because we might have a God problem in our life. Some of us are enjoying life, a blessed life, but we have a place in our heart and our life that is not completely filled. And if you weigh out that place and that part of your life, I'm afraid that it would be found wanting. I'm afraid that it would be found lacking. I'm afraid that something will be found missing. And I want us to know this, and we're not going to like this morning. I didn't like it when God spoke it to my heart, but we're not going to like it. But if we have a problem in our life, if we have a problem that something has not been filled in our life, if we have a problem where we're not satisfied in our life, it's not a problem here on this earth, but we have a God problem in our life. I don't like that. Because I want to say, no, I fixed my God problem at 7 years old when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I surrendered myself. But that night I knew that I had no hope except for Jesus Christ. I knew there was no solution to my life's problems except for Jesus Christ. But over time I have began to take back some of that power. Over time I have began to try to do things on my own. Over time I have tried to weigh myself in my own balance and say that I'm not wanting. But as I look at my life sometimes, I know there are some situations in my life where I have a God problem, where I have something in my life that is not lining up with what God wants us to have. Let's look at a couple of things. Let me just say this before we do. You remember when Jesus met with the woman at the well? What did he tell her? He said, in this well, if you drink of this water, you shall thirst again. But if you drink of this water that I shall give you, you shall never thirst again. It's going to be a well of living water. It's springing up on the inside of you. So when there begins to be a place in my life where I feel empty, when I feel like I'm missing, or when I feel like I'm lacking, there's probably a God problem in my life. So let's look. Let's start with a widespread problem this morning. This is where you see I'm going to have to stick close to my notes. Let's look at some problems that we're facing right now. Right now, what's the problem we got facing right now? Look how spread out you all are. We got this virus thing going on, don't we? We got this COVID-19. We got this thing going on that has tied our hands, that none of us know what to do with, that we don't know what information is correct and what information is incorrect. We don't know if we're being led, pushed, followed. We don't have a clue what's going on with this COVID-19 thing right now. It's a sickness, and we definitely know that there is a sickness, that there is a virus. But it seems like this virus is deadly to some, harmless to others. We can't understand what's going on. But what we do know is that we're looking for solutions. We're social distancing. We're wearing masks. We're trying to develop a vaccine. We're doing all of these things. We're keeping up with the numbers, and the numbers are all over the board, and we don't know exactly what's going on. But we know that there's a sickness, there is a virus, and we're hunting for those solutions. We're looking for the solution to the problem. But while all of this is the focus, while all of this is being focused on, and while we're looking at this virus and trying to adjust our lifestyles in order to decrease the possibility of someone getting sick, while we're looking at our lifestyles and trying to fix a problem that we know is out there, a problem that we don't understand, there's a much bigger problem that's working in the background. There's a much bigger issue that's going on in each and every one of our lives, in our world as a whole. There's a bigger problem that's taking place, and while all the focus is on this, the much more dangerous sickness that is destroying us, that is destroying our loved ones, that is destroying our world, is sin. That's a good place for an amen, church. Let's try that again. The thing that is destroying us is sin. Amen. Don't get so focused. I mean, I can clap for myself if I want to here. Listen, I know COVID-19 has made things so weird at church. We come into church and we don't know what we're supposed to do. We come in and we sit down and we're afraid to talk to anybody. We're afraid to look at anybody. We're afraid to shake hands, and I don't want you shaking hands, but we're afraid to fellowship. We're afraid, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? How long is the preacher going to preach? We don't have Sunday school anymore. We don't have a choir anymore. The only thing we get to do is go hear terrible preaching by our preacher. I don't even know if it's even worth it going to church or not. And that's the way that COVID-19 has got our church right now. And I want us to just relax and listen to the Word of God this morning and let God speak to us. Listen, it's okay as we get into this. If you agree, agree. And if you disagree, tell me about it after church. I don't want you to disagree out loud. But we got this sin problem that's going on in our world, and we're willing to change and ignore absolute truth, final authority. We are willing to change everything in order to fulfill our own fleshly, lustful desire. We are willing. Look, as we go through this thing, there are some of you that are absolutely bent on not wearing a mask. I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying people's thoughts. I wore a mask this weekend. Some of you are just, I absolutely am not going to wear a mask. Nobody can make me put a mask on. That's fine. That's your prerogative. That is your choice. But let me say something. As we get into this, don't get stiff-necked like that towards God. As we get into God's Word, don't get to where you say, it doesn't matter what the preacher says or what God's Word says. I'm not going to change. Don't get that way. We can get in very deep trouble doing that. But then there's also some of us that we'd be willing to do anything. If they told us to go home this afternoon and stand on our head for 30 seconds, get up and do 10 jumping jacks, go outside and kick the dog, we would do that if we thought it would keep us from getting COVID-19. But I want you to know, you don't need to be that foolish when it comes to God's Word. Don't let this world just feed you everything and you say, well, I'd be willing to do anything. Because that's not the way that God designed us. There is an absolute truth and a final authority, and we don't need to change that. We don't need to compromise with it. We don't need to do anything in order to fill our own fleshly desires and our own fleshly lust. Because when we do, we have a God problem. Been weighed in the balances and found wanting. We also have another issue going on right now. We have a race equality issue. Some of you just drew up in your pew. I can't believe the preacher just said that from the pulpit. I can't believe he's going to talk about that at church. Well, let's dig into it just a minute. Let's look at what's going on with this race equality. Whew, I thought it would get quiet, but not even a baby would be crying. Come on, we need something. You could say that we have a problem right now with that virus, but the real problem is sin, sickness. You could say that we have a problem with race equality right now. It's so sad to see the division in our country right now. People don't know whether to... my opinion, God help me with my opinion, stay out of this. People don't know whether they should stand for the national anthem or don't stand. People don't know whether we should put up statues or tear down statues. People don't know whether they should join peaceful protests for equality or mind your own business because it might get out of hand. Again, I think all of this stuff that's going on, that's out there, is a smokescreen for an issue much deeper than skin color. It's a smokescreen for something much deeper than the color of your skin this morning. We are not all created equal in abilities. Can I just go ahead and say that again? We are not created equal with our abilities. Josh Perdue can jump out of a gym. That's about all I got. Me and him are not equal when it comes to that. Some of y'all are so intelligent that if you put a test in front of us, you would pass it and I would fail it. We're not created equal in that aspect. Some of y'all are fast. I'm not too fast. We are not created equal in some of our abilities and in those aspects in our life. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, white, green, purple, orange, brown, blue. You were created in the image of God for God's glory. You are fearfully and wonderfully made with a soul that Jesus Christ gave his life for. And you have an opportunity for a relationship with Jesus Christ as much as anybody in this world. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your abilities are. In God's eyes, your soul is just as important as my soul, just as important as Billy Graham's soul, just as important as anybody else, as Paul the Apostle. Your soul is just as important as theirs. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the sight of God, and I want you to know that we have the opportunity to go out here and spread a gospel to a lost and a dying world, that it doesn't matter what color they are, what color we are, that we all are called to live a life for God's glory. He gave his life in order that we all could have an eternal life together in his presence. Christian people, if you have a problem with someone of a different race, you need to check up with God. You got a God problem this morning. If I have a problem with somebody because of their skin color, I've got a God problem, and I need to get it straightened out in my life, because I'm going to spend eternity with their soul in heaven. I'm going to spend an eternity. Their soul is going to be in the same heaven mine's going to be in. And some of them probably well deserve it way more than I do. In order that we all could have eternal life together. If people would love each other as God commanded us, we don't have a race problem in our world. We have a God problem. And if this world and this country was looking to God the way that we should be looking to God, the race problem would go away. If this country and this world was looking to God the way that we should be, the sin sickness problem would go away. But yet we have a God problem. We've been weighed in the balances and we've been found wanting. Let's get a little closer to home. You could say that we have a problem in our churches today. Our churches seem powerless. Again, I know that this COVID-19 mess has made everything so weird and so uncomfortable. Church, I'm going to be completely honest with you this morning. I'm not asking for anybody's pity or anybody. I just want you to know how it feels when we come to church. I feel like we're coming and going through the motions right now. I feel like I'm coming and going through the motions right now. I don't think I would be being fair with you as your pastor if I didn't let you know that I was in the same boat that some of you are sometimes. But a couple of Sundays ago, Autumn come. And pray that y'all know I'm really honest with you, right? I'm really honest with my children too. I just tell them bluntly, like it is. We can't make adjustments if we don't. But my wife come to pray at the altar, and when I went down and prayed beside of her, I put my arm around her shoulder, and I said, "How in the world has COVID-19 took the power out of the church? How in the world has this mess that's going on took the power out of the church?" For our church that was coming together, and I know, like we were talking earlier, the fellowship has changed, the choir has changed, we don't have Sunday school, but how in the world has this mess took the power out of the church? And I wouldn't be mentioning it except for I've talked to other pastors, and I said, "How's things going at church?" And they said, "Man, it's just like there's no power in our church. It's just like the things that God was doing has all just the brakes have been slammed on. That people come to church and they're uncomfortable. People come to church and they don't know how to act. When we come to church, we're not just letting go and coming to church, but we're coming to church and we're going through motions. Lost are not being saved. Christians seem indifferent. There's not much worship or praise in our services. There's not very much conviction in the preaching anymore, and the preaching is just terrible. Let's dig deep. Let's make sure that we are not having a God problem. Let's make sure in each and every one of our lives. Look, and it starts with me. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be the under-shepherd here. I'm a servant leader here. I'm supposed to be leading you guys and trying my best to point you to God and trying to encourage you and trying to strengthen you and trying to feed you. And sometimes I'm so bummed out by everything that's going on that I feel powerless in my Christian life. But we need to stand up and know that just as Sarah sung this morning, that God is good in the middle of everything that we're going through. That our God is still good. That God is still powerful. That God is still in control no matter what's going on. How is the prayer life of the church? We're digging deep right now. Where's the problem at? Why does the church seem powerless? How is the prayer life of the church? How much time is the church spending in God's word? Are we meeting in one mind and one accord? Have we compromised our morals, our standards, our convictions to the point that we are not walking with God in fellowship and a good relationship? You can answer these questions for yourself. I've already had to answer them to me and God. Are we still preaching, teaching, singing, and sharing the gospel? Do we still know that there's power in the blood? And are we still sharing the wonderful name of Jesus? Listen, you remember back when Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "You are now Petros," which meant little rock. And then he said, "But upon this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It wasn't Peter. That rock was Jesus Christ. I want to share something with you this morning. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He hasn't changed. The rock hasn't changed that the church was built on. I know things are changing all around us, and people are talking about new normal and everything else. I don't want this to be the new normal, church. I want us to figure out a way to put our faith and our trust and our complete, just all of ourselves into Jesus Christ, the rock of the church, where the church is built on, where the gates of hell cannot prevail, that we may stand strong and be the church that God wants us to be. To be the church when lost people come in, they feel the convicting power of God. The place that we want to be that when we come in, that we as Christians, when we're down in the dumps, that we feel the worship and praise of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are lifted up and we are encouraged. The place that we come in, and when we're brokenhearted over lost people, that we can find comfort knowing the gospel and taking it out to them. The place that when everything in my world is fixing to fall apart, then I know that God is the answer to my problem. That's the church that God wants us to be. Amen. Are we found weighed in the balances and found wanting? I'm almost done. I figured I'd get a few amens right there. Let's dig just a little deeper. We've talked about the widespread, the virus, the race issues, the church. Now let's come a little deeper. What about your personal life? See, we can even go, let's go this way. Let's go this route. Our job isn't as good as we want it to be. You're worth more than they are paying you. So am I, just so you know. We go to work and we're not happy. There's a place in us that's missing, that's not filled. And see, as we go to work every day and we go in there and we think about how much that we're worth. And how much they should be paying us so much more. There's people that's got laid off that's making more than me right now. Anybody heard that sentence? Yeah, amen. We've heard that sentence. I've had people come to me and ask me if I could cut their hours to a place that they could be drawing. No, not going to do that. God, keep my opinion out right now. But we go to work and we're so just, on our personal level, we're not filled. There's that empty place that's on the inside of us. There's that want that's on the inside of us we're lacking. But see, maybe it's not a problem with your work. We don't like it. Maybe it's not a problem with our pay. Maybe it's a God problem in our lives. Maybe we are not doing it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men. See, I work for the company that I work for, but the one that I'm going to give an account to is a holy and a righteous God. There was a time in my life when I looked at my workplace as nothing more than a mission field. God, you've put me here. These people are going to come in contact with me day after day after day. Let me be a light. Let me be a witness. And then all of a sudden it changed to how much money can I make? And then all of a sudden it changed to how far up the ladder can I climb? It was no longer a mission field for God. It was a mission field for Josh. See, I had a God problem come in. I had a God problem come in. That I wasn't doing it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, but I was doing it as, what's in it for me? I was weighed in the balance and found wanting. Let's dig a little deeper. What about your spouse? What about as you look this morning and you think, hey, it hasn't been long ago. Man, I share too much information. Honey, please forgive me if I get too personal. I share way too much information sometimes. But I looked at my wife one day. Look, things are not always rosy at my house. Things are not always just, me and Autumn don't just walk in the house and skip together. And when I walk in the door, she says, hello, honey, did you have a wonderful day? It's not the way it always happens at my house. There was a place here recently. When I say recently, that could be within the last 20 years, just so you know. That I looked at my wife and we were going through a bad patch. We're going through some trouble. And it wasn't like, well, pack your bags and leave. It wasn't like that. But I looked at her and I said, I feel like we don't have anything in common anymore. I said, besides our kids and our church, we don't have anything in common. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. But that's the way I feel. You remember me telling you that? But you know, it wasn't her problem. It wasn't that she wasn't being a good wife. It wasn't those things. You know what was wrong? I had a God problem. I had some things going on in my life. And again, we ain't got to talk about the top 10 things that we as Christians think about. But you know, we hear things like, they don't love me like they used to. We've lost the fire in our marriage. We don't have anything in common anymore. I'm just not happy. Well, be sure when those things come, because I'm going to tell you what happened with me, that my mind and my emotions had become the devil's playground. My mind and my emotions, I had opened them up and let the devil start messing with my mind and my emotions and start telling me that I might be happier doing this or doing that. Wait a minute. All of this is while I'm pastoring your church. All of this is when we come in on Sunday mornings and we do our best not to let it loose in here. There's been a time or two that she's threatened to walk out when I've told a story on her. I wouldn't blame her. Randall has even offered to give her a microphone so she could rebuttal just a little bit, but please don't ever do that. Lord have mercy. But it wasn't that my wife wasn't sufficient for me. It wasn't that she didn't love me. It wasn't that I didn't love her, but I had a God problem. I had opened my mind and my emotions to the devil to let him come in and tell me things in my mind that I shouldn't have let him tell me. And if your spouse is being faithful and not verbally or physically abusive, there very well may be a God problem. Husbands, if your wife may feel that way because you're not loving her like Christ loved the church. But listen to me. I don't know how Autumn felt. Autumn ain't as, she don't open up just as easy as I do. Most of the time I open up incorrectly. It's loud when I open up. But I open up, and she don't open up quite as freely as I do. But see, the problem wasn't her problem. The problem was my problem. I had a God problem. And see, it wasn't that maybe she wasn't feeling like I didn't love her like Christ loved the church. But you know, as her husband, if I'm not loving her like Christ loved the church, then it creates a void in me. It don't just have to be a void in her. It could be a void in me because I'm not loving her like Christ loved the church. But let's go ahead and reciprocate that. If she's not submitted herself unto me as her husband, it may not be that I feel so left out. But if she's not doing what she's supposed to, if she's not got that going on in her life, she may be weighed in the balances and found wanting. She may be the one with the God problem. And you may look and you say, well, if my husband would love me like Christ loved the church, I would submit myself. And then the husband goes, well, if my wife would submit herself, I would love her like Christ loved the church. Well, you know what? Somebody's got to start somewhere. My goodness. Dig a little deeper. Your happiness. I'm just not content with my life. I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. Everyone else seems to be happier than me. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 11 and 12. I told you I was going to be loaded for 2 weeks. I know I'm holding you long this morning, but I'm going to just continue to give you what God's given me, and the doors are open if you need to leave. When I get done, if I'm the only one left, I'll pray and leave. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Are you content? Paul says, I have learned to be content whether I'm abounding or whether I'm abased. Weighed. And found wanting. When this life is not fulfilling to you no more, it's not that you don't have enough money. It's not that you don't have enough possessions. It's not that your house is not big enough. You know what it is? We've got a God problem. We forgot how to be content with what God's given us. I'm really almost done. We could go on and on and on with this and find places in our lives where we might have a God problem. We could go through many different aspects of our life. But here's the thing. As Belshazzar was sitting there at that party, as he was sitting there, Hannah, if you will, come on, if you're not already up here. As Belshazzar was sitting there at that party, and man, at that point in time, he felt happy and indestructible. And he sees this writing on the wall, and his world was shaking. Let me ask you. What if he didn't respond at all to that and just said, oh, well. Now, look, it didn't change a whole lot for him because he didn't change. He seen the writing on the wall. Somebody interpreted the writing. And then in verse 30, he was slain. Boom, over. Killed. But what if he had responded to that writing on the wall? See, here's the thing. We've got the writing. We've got all that we need. But then if you're a true child of God this morning, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that is continually working on the inside, that is continually guiding you, that is continually pulling you this way or that. And there may be areas in your life this morning that you have realized that you've got a God problem. You know what? Almost in everything that I mentioned this morning, I can find God problems in my life that I've not totally surrendered and totally given to God. Maybe you're not in that case. If you're not, please pray for me. Please help me. Because as I look at my life, there are things that come in that I know that I have a God problem. And I don't want to just see the writing on the wall and ignore it, but I want to see that writing on the wall and I want to respond and say, God, help me. God, forgive me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Jennifer playing. Look at your life for just a moment. You're being weighed in the balances right now. It's not your scale. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you decide. It's not about what you think is right or wrong. But it's about what God's word says. And you're being weighed right now. The only measure that you have to be weighed against is a perfect and a righteous and a holy God. But other than that, measure yourself to God's word. and what God's called us to be. Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know without a doubt that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not afraid of going to hell at all, but I know that being weighed in the balances, that I'm found wanting. That there's some places in my life where I've got a God problem. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? There's hands all over the church. You're not by yourself. Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I do not want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? That at some time before my time comes that I'll accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I'll do is pray. I would never come to you and embarrass you in any way. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? Preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never asked forgiveness of my sins. The handwriting's on the wall. How are you going to respond? The handwriting is out there. What are you going to do with it? Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for your word. God, I want to thank you for the way that you use it to speak to my heart. God, I want to thank you for the way that you show me my wrongs. Not that you can beat me down, but it's all that you can pick me up. And God, I know I can't do it on my own power. God, if I could do it on my own, I would have already done it. But I need to surrender it to you. I need to allow you to lift me up. God, I need to allow you to fill all of those voids in my life. God, that when I'm weighed, I won't be found wanting, missing, or lacking. God, for the hands that was raised, I pray that we will respond to your word this morning. God, for the one that was raised that said they were lost, God, I pray that you'll just touch their heart, help them to see their need for a Savior. Just touch them, allow them the courage to come and accept you. God, make us what you want us to be. And in Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, as Hannah sings, hey, there's plenty of room around this altar. Don't let COVID keep you from getting things right with God. Don't let being powerless in our own selves keep you from getting things right with God. If you need to come and talk to God, come and talk to God. You've seen the handwriting on the wall. You've heard God's word. Respond.
Have what you need, but you keep on searching.
Come on, church.
I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Thank you. I believe that's been sufficient this morning. I believe you've had an opportunity to respond to God's word. thank you for being here this morning. If you're watching us on Facebook, thank you for tuning in with us this morning. As always, if you need a special prayer request or you need to get a message to me, you're welcome to leave it there on Facebook. Otherwise, we'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.